May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 977. Deep are the wounds which sin has made. Where shall the sinner find a cure? In vain, alas, is nature's aid. The work exceeds all nature's power. Hymn 977.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the first epistle of John and chapter 4. The fourth chapter of the first epistle of John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen, and do testify, that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, we pray for grace to bow before thee, to call upon thy great and holy name, to draw near. Lord, we cannot come in our own name. We cannot come in our own person. For all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we are all as an unclean thing. But we do thank thee that we can come in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the name the Father loves to hear his children plead. And all such pleadings he approves when offered in his name. Oh, we pray, most gracious Lord, that as we gather around thy word this evening hour, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us. We pray that we may be favoured to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, to draw from that sacred fullness that is in him. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst come in thy spirit and in thy grace and open thy word to our heart and to our understanding, that it may be with us as we read in the word, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So we pray that it may be so. Come, Lord, and let thy light shine into our hearts. Come and shine upon the pathway. Come, Lord, and let thy word this evening hour be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Grant that we may have that humble, teachable spirit, that we may be in a right mind and a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, we do pray that that may be so. Deliver us from every wrong spirit. Enable us to try the spirits to see if they be of God or no. Great God, give us spiritual discernment, that we may discern that which is right in thy sight. We do seek, most gracious Lord, thy rich blessing upon this church and this congregation. Thou knowest all their needs, all their concerns. And we do pray that thou wouldst graciously be with them and help them and encourage them and edify them, that thy word may have free course, that thy name may be honoured and glorified. And grant them, O Lord, collectively as a church, that real spiritual exercise for the prosperity of this cause of truth. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. We pray that thou wouldst pour upon the spiritual members of this church and this congregation, that there may be a real spirit of travail, that they may labour before thee, to see real, true spiritual prosperity. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst grant them a living, settled ministry, one of thy servants that will come in and out among them and feed them with knowledge and with understanding. Great God, do so bless them. We do pray thee. What a great blessing to be granted one of thy servants. Oh, we do pray. Thou art that great God and hast revealed thyself in the word, that thou hast the seven stars in thy right hand, the angels of the seven churches. And we do pray that thou wouldst grant one to our beloved friends here, that they might be edified, that they might be guided and directed with an under shepherd. We pray for our beloved brethren, the deacons. Be with them. Help them, support them, sustain them. Give wisdom and understanding according to thy word. And graciously bless them together. And in the church, that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Help us to pray for one another. Help us to bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. We do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst bless the whole of this congregation. We think of the little ones and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary. We pray that in their young and in their tender years, thou wast put thy holy fear in their hearts as an unctuous light to all that's right, as a bar to all that's wrong. Lord, do so bless them. We do beseech thee. And we pray that there may be a generation that shall yet be raised up to call thee the Redeemer blessed, and that thou wast bore their ears to the doorposts of thy house, and that they may come to that point no more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home, and that they may, Lord, feelingly be brought, this people shall be my people, their God, my God, and where thou dwellest, I will dwell. Great God, do so bless this people and unite them together in the sacred bonds of spiritual love and union and communion. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst bless the dear young friends as they stand upon the threshold of life's journey. Preserve and keep them from the allurements of this vain world that has to death 10,000s hurled. Preserve and keep them from the temptations of the wicked one. Lord, how it's rightly often put, the slippery paths of youth. And so it is, Lord. And some of us here have been given to prove it. And it's only thy sovereign grace that can preserve and keep us and bring us to thy feet as poor, needy sinners. We pray that thou wouldst so bless the dear young friends. Bring them into union and communion with Jesus Christ. Make them true followers of thee and of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst be with them regarding their education. Grant them guidance and direction. Give them wisdom and understanding on the things that they should study. And Lord, graciously find them suitable employment at the appointed time. And Lord, be with them regarding a partner in life's journey. Hear us in heaven, thy holy dwelling place, as we lovingly commend them to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and to grant them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. There are those prodigals, O Lord, that have wandered away from the paths of truth and of righteousness. We pray that thou wouldst stretch out thy mighty arm and cause them to return. We pray for our dear friends expecting to be married in this coming week, and we lovingly commend them to thee and pray that thou wouldst be with them on the coming Friday and be with them in life that lies before them. Lord, hear us, we do pray thee. Bless them on the day. Help thy servant. Lord, we pray that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst remember all in the midst of the journey of life, bearing as it were the heat and the burden of the day. Be with parents and give them wisdom and understanding that they may bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst graciously make us more spiritually minded and set our affections on things above. And we do pray to be preserved from evil, to be delivered from temptation. And we pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst deliver us from wandering away from the truth, the ways of truth and of righteousness. We seek, O Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst graciously be with those in the evening time of life's journey. May the arms of thine everlasting love surround them, support them and sustain them, and grant that the glory and light and power of the gospel may shine into this village and into the surrounding villages and hamlets, that we may see an ingathering of precious souls, that we may see the pulling down of the strongholds of Satan and the setting up of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus in the hearts of sinners. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Come and bless thy Zion, and instead of a decline, may we see a gracious increase. May we see a building up. May we see a reviving. And may we know that reviving in our own hearts, that renewing in our own souls. May we have a closer walk with thee, Lord Jesus, a calmer heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Remember all in trouble and trial, perplexity and sorrow and affliction. And gracious God, undertake for them, we do humbly beseech of thee. We do pray, most gracious Lord, remember each one of thy labouring servants this day, wherever they may be labouring, upon the walls of Zion. Strengthen them, help them, be mouth matter and wisdom unto them, and grant the spirit of power, and grant mighty signs and wonders to follow the preaching of the word. Thou hast said in thy word, I will yet be inquired of the house of Israel to do this thing for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Great God, we do pray that thou wouldst come and bless thy Zion and bless thy servants. And we pray thee, the great Lord of the harvest, that thou wouldst send true labourers into the harvest, that we may see a building of the wall. May thy servants take pleasure in the stones of Zion and favour the dust thereof. O Lord, we do beseech of thee. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy would remember thy people throughout the nations of the earth. We especially remember those in those countries where thy name is hated, where thy people are persecuted, imprisoned, and lose their lives for the name and witness of Jesus Christ. Great God, strengthen them out of Zion. Send them help from the sanctuary. We do humbly beseech of thee. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst grant us each truly thankful hearts, thankful for thy holy day, thankful for the word of God, thankful for the constant supply of our many returning needs. Truly, O Lord, thy mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. And we do bless thee for the stability of the covenant that has been sealed with the blood of Jesus. We thank thee for the glorious doctrine and truth of the incarnation of the Son of God, and the wonderful glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless thee for the holy life he lived, for the holy law he fulfilled, for the holy sacrifice he offered, for the putting away of sin by that glorious offering of Calvary. We bless thee for a Saviour that loved not his life unto death, but shed his blood, gave his life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Oh, we do bless thee for that dear Saviour that died and rose again for our justification. Oh Lord, we do thank thee for the glory of his name. We thank thee for that dear Saviour that has bodily ascended into heaven, and that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And for such an high priest have we, who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. O most gracious Lord, fill our hearts with gratitude, with thanksgiving, for that fullness of salvation that is in Christ Jesus. We do thank thee that in him we know the love of a gracious heavenly Father, and through him we receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Great God, O Lord, make us truly thankful for the abundance of thy mercy, for the fullness of thy grace. Guide us each safely unto thy heavenly kingdom. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar, that we may be enabled to speak forth the words of truth and love. O Lord, we do beseech thee. We ask these favours and these blessings in that wonderful and most precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 976. Jesus is a wise physician, skillful and exceeding kind. Through him sinners find remission and enjoy sweet peace of mind. Hymn 976.
Thank you.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, and we'll read verses 34 and 35 for our text. The Gospel according to John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A new commandment I give unto you. What a wonderful, precious thing, my beloved friends, if we know the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts. One of the principal graces of the Spirit is love. As we read together in the fourth chapter of the first epistle of John, he lays great emphasis on the Spirit of love. In the third chapter of that epistle, he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So one of the marks and one of the evidences of being a true child of God is that we love the brethren. One of the marks and the evidences of being born again is we're brought to love the brethren. We're brought to love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. And as we read together there in the Epistle of John, how he says that we shall also receive the servants of the Lord as being the servants of the Lord. May the Lord grant that we may indeed have the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You know, it reminds me greatly as I look at this word that is before us here of the time when the Lord first appeared to me in a way of grace. I'd been under what we call under the law for some 2 years until these words found in the third chapter of the Ephesians, the Lord came and sealed them into my heart, and I came from spiritual darkness into spiritual light, from spiritual bondage into spiritual liberty. It was such a clear, wonderful time. It's like, I've often explained it, it's like being in a prison with no windows. It's all absolutely dark, and then the door opens and the sun shines a shaft of light into that prison, and because you're so used to the darkness, it almost blinds you. If you go from a very dark place out into the bright sunlight, you almost can't see. You know, friends, that's what it's like when the Lord brings deliverance into your heart. You go from darkness and you come into light. And it was these words in the third chapter of the Ephesians that were so blessed to me at that time. And verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. The truth, my beloved friends, is rather experienced than being able to teach it in a letter way. It's the experience of the heart. It says the Lord opens the way of truth as he sheds abroad his love in your heart, when he works precious faith in your soul, and then being rooted and grounded in love. A faith that worketh by love. That's what the apostle says in the Colossians. Faith that worketh by love. Do we know that faith that worketh by love? That love to our Lord Jesus Christ? That love to his glorious person? That love to him for what he is? The eternal Son of the Father manifest in the flesh. Do you feel a love to Jesus Christ? To his person? Something so glorious in that he is the Son of God, that he is manifested in the flesh, that he came to suffer, to bleed and die for our sins. You know, this love, my beloved friends, he says to know, that is to have the knowledge of the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. What does he mean by passeth knowledge? Well, when that love of Christ is shed abroad in your heart, it's so inexpressible. You cannot express the feelings of your heart, the love of your soul toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And it passes comprehension. You can't express it. You can experience it. And when you speak of it, and somebody else who has experienced it, they'll find an echo in their own heart. Now, my beloved friends, we love him because he first loved us. Because he first sent his Spirit into our heart, quickened our soul into life, brought us to feel our lost and helpless condition, and then brought us to see by faith that Jesus is the way to God. And he shed abroad his love, a faith that worketh by love, by affection. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. You see, my beloved friends, when the Lord's people know that true work of the Spirit in the heart, when they know that true separating work of the Holy Ghost, when they're brought into union and communion with Jesus Christ. You see, they're drawn away from all earthly things. Before this work of the Spirit in the heart, your appetite was for earthly things, carnal things. But once the Lord has shed abroad his love in your heart, your desire, your affections are set upon things above. And we have many exhortations, do we not, in the Word of God? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, that we may run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. My beloved friends, there's the glorious example that is set before us. We read in Paul's epistle to the Philippians, and in the second chapter, and he gives that beautiful exhortation to the brethren of Philippi and to us. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. This is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the grace that he gives in measure unto each one of his children, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. You see, that matchless condescension of our Lord Jesus Christ, he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. What condescension. Doesn't the hymn writer, oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his wondrous works and ways. The Son of God took into union with his divine nature a sacred, holy human nature. He became bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, even as a man, not just as the Son of God, but even as a man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself as a man. He didn't, you know, he's Lord of all, he's King of kings, he's the mighty God, he's the everlasting Father, he's God over all and blessed forevermore. The apostle, he says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only true God, be honour and glory everlasting. But he as a man humbled himself. He didn't come to the palaces of the great, of Pilate, or of the high priest, or of Herod, or of any of the great men of this earth. He was born of a virgin in the poorest circumstances. He didn't have a special little cradle as a baby. He was laid in a manger. He was among the beasts. You see, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Mary, they were in poor circumstances. Joseph being a carpenter. And that is where Christ was brought up as a little child. He made himself. See, this is the spirit and mind of Christ. Made himself of no reputation. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it again. He became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross, the death of a common criminal. He loved not his life unto death. Why? In infinite love to his people. On such love my heart still ponders. Love so rich, so full, so free. The love of Christ to poor sinners. Even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. And given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, the apostle in the epistle to the Colossians, he speaks so beautifully there. If you consider our text and the new commandment, and listen to what he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You think of your master. Think how he left the bosom of his father. Think how he came to this earth. Think how he humbled himself. Think how he became a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Think of that exhortation, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. If we forgive not them that trespass against us, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. It's a fundamental Christian grace, my beloved friends. Think of what the Lord has done for you. Think of how he suffered, he bled, he died to redeem you, to give you spiritual life, to bring you into union, into life, into peace and salvation that is in Christ Jesus. let the word of Christ, or rather let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Do we do that? Do we take heed to these precepts of the gospel, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord? Do we fulfill that word, "And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and a book of remembrance was written"? Do we speak one to another? Those of you that are brethren and sisters in Christ and in church fellowship, do you speak one to another? Do you speak of the feelings of your soul, of the experiences of your heart, of when the love of Christ is shed abroad in your heart? Do you tell your fellow brethren and sisters in Christ? "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another." It's a means of grace, my beloved friends, to encourage us. You encourage another, you encourage yourself, you encourage each other in the journey. Speaking to one another. You see, the word of Christ dwelling in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. You see, it's this togetherness. This togetherness, my beloved friends, it comes from the Spirit of Christ. It is the very Spirit of Christ. And we're exhorted unto it continually. And you know, it doesn't do to say, "Well, I'm shy," or "I'm not used to speaking to people," etc. It's a means of grace. It's to the good of your own soul. It's also to the benefit of the church. And it increases that spirit of love and union that is among you. It is a means of grace. And you are the poorer for it if you do not speak one to another of the things that the Lord has done for your souls. My mind, it just goes to the second chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together." It's mentioned two or three times here in several verses, together. That's the gospel. It brings you together. It brings you together in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together." Notice this word, it comes again and again, together, "in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You see, "for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You see, my beloved friends, these things are written for our instruction. You see, "by this shall they know that ye are my disciples, because ye have love one to another." And listen to the exhortation of Paul to the Ephesians in chapter 4. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness." Notice these exhortations. Why is the need of these exhortations? Because by nature, we have a proud nature and we get lifted up in pride. We can even be proud of our humility. It's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? But that's what we're like. You see, "with all lowliness and meekness and with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, one of the works of Satan, it says in the Word of God that he is the separator of the brethren. And where he finds the Lord's people walking in a spirit of love, union and communion in Christ Jesus, he'll do his utmost to separate. He will introduce various thoughts into your mind about a brother or sister in Christ. Seek and disturb your mind, seeking to divide and to separate. But this word, endeavouring, is a very strong word. Endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You see, my beloved friends, this togetherness, this love, this union, you know, in a church in particular, is a very essential grace. It's essential in a personal way in our hearts, because that is what motivates the true child of God, is the spirit of love. But it's very essential in a church. It's like the oil. You take the oil out of an internal combustion engine and it will seize up completely. Well, that's what love is like. You take love out of real religion and it will seize up. You see, love oils the wheels, keeps everything moving. Endeavouring to keep. It's a strong word, endeavouring to keep. It's something, my beloved friends, we have to keep in mind and we have to strive for. And when the enemy begins to introduce thoughts into your mind, just remember you have an enemy. He's a subtle, he's a cunning enemy. And he will try and put a wedge between you and your brethren and sisters in Christ. He tries to divide, he tries to separate, because he knows that this is where true spiritual prosperity comes from. See, he speaks here in this fourth chapter of Christ and his ascension into glory. And then he said, and he gave some apostles, this is when he ascended into glory, and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, he speaks here of what the ministry of the word does. Where there is that true ministry of the Spirit and a true pastoral ministry, it binds together. And it says here, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. That's the thing, my beloved friends, to speak the truth in love, to have that true love of the brethren, that true love for souls, from whom the whole body, that is Christ, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Except we do all things in love, and then we do all things in vain. We do indeed. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You see, God so loved the world. You think of that infinite love of the Father, and that word that we have in the here in John's Gospel, the Father himself loveth you. That infinite love of God. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. He sent him to suffer, to bleed and die for your sins. Tremendous love. infinite love. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. You know, you think of love, think of what we've read together in the gospel, in the Epistle of John, and he speaks there of that spirit of love, of that spirit of union, of that spirit of communion. But he makes a very clear statement: by the divine influence of the Spirit, God is love. God is love. You know, and that leads us to some thoughts which are very beautiful thoughts concerning God. God is love. There must be more than one for the expression of love. And that reveals to us the sacred doctrine of the Trinity. God is love. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And the Son loves the Father. It's very clearly expressed in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit. We read in the Holy Scriptures of the love of the Spirit. And that infinite love of the Father, Son and Holy Ghost. From everlasting to everlasting. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It's the everlasting love of God, which is without beginning and without ending. And the expression of that love is found in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, full of love to man's lost race. Jesus Christ. The Father gave him a people chosen from the ruins of the Adam fall. They were chosen unto life and immortality in Christ. They were given to Christ before the foundation of the world. That infinite love of God. God is love. It's an essential part of his being. It always has been. It always will be. And what God is, he is in an infinite sense. It's infinite love. And surely, love beyond comprehension, that his blessed, holy, only begotten Son came to this sin-cursed world, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. And in that chapter that we read together, there's two things that stand out in that fourth chapter of the first epistle of John. And he gives us an exhortation: beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirits. And he gives us two very clear words here in this chapter. In the second verse, he says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So he says, try the spirits. And he goes on, he says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Very clear, isn't it? A denial of the true human nature of the Son of God is a denial of one of the most fundamental doctrines of our most holy faith. And he goes on in that third verse, he said, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And he goes on in that same chapter in verse 14 that we read together, and he says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And here's this other test in trying the spirits: whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. There's two fundamental doctrines that it is essential to believe. On the one hand, that Jesus Christ was a real true man, On the other hand, that Jesus Christ was truly God. As it says in the Athanasian Creed, very simply put, very God, very man. And that is what we see. That's the deep mystery of godliness that we see in Jesus Christ, that God was manifest in the flesh. He became a real man. Or as the apostle, he puts it in the Hebrews, he was made like unto his brethren. All things he was made like unto his brethren. See, my beloved friends, we are to try the spirits to see if they be of God. But there in this fourth chapter of John that we read together, he says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Do we have this spirit of love? Do we have that witness in our hearts? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you love the Lord's people? I remember my late pastor, Mr. Jupp. He used to speak of when the Lord brought him forth after he'd been blessed, and he was sitting one first Lord's day in the house of God. He was witnessing the ordinance of the Lord's Supper in the Kent and Sussex churches. Generally, the whole congregation stays in for the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And as he witnessed it, he said, I saw all the Lord's people sitting round the table. He said, I saw them all in Christ. I saw them all perfect in Christ Jesus. He said it was something that was so precious. He said, I love them as they were all found in Christ. And it was on that feeling sense of such love to Christ and to his people that he was constrained to go forward to be baptized. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. It's the evidence that you're a true child of God, born of God, and knoweth God. You know, some, they manifest a very hard, a very harsh, a very unfeeling, a very unkind spirit. It's absolutely opposite to the spirit and mind of Christ. Try the spirits to see if they be of God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. See, and the clear manifestation of that love of God. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Oh, the infinite love of God. Undeserved, unmerited favour of the eternal God. That's what the word grace means. The unmerited favour of the eternal God. He sent his only begotten Son to suffer, to bleed and die for his people. Here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation is a very similar word to atonement. The atonement, if you break the word up, at one meant. There's a joining together in Christ through the glorious sacrifice, through the precious sin-atoning blood of Christ at one moment. That's what Christ does for his people. He brings them into union and communion with himself, into union and communion with his people. Now the word propitiation has a slightly different meaning. It means the atonement, but it's actually speaking of the cost, the tremendous cost of that atonement, the life of Christ. I lay down my life. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so love us, if God so love us, You see, let us love one another. For God dwelleth in us. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. You think of our text. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I remember very young in the way, not long after I'd transferred to Black Boys, and my late pastor, Mr. Jupp, who was a most kind and loving man, he said something one Sunday morning in the pulpit. And you know, the only thing I can say is the old devil got hold of me and I rose up against what he said. And being rather hasty, I fired off a letter to him, criticising him for what he said. You know, friends, there was so much wonderful teaching to me in the way he replied. He started, "My dear son in the faith," and he wrote such a loving, such a kind letter. I wished I'd never written to him. I wished I'd never said that. And I saw so clearly that was the devil. He puts it into your mind and he makes you rise up and hastily do something. You see, but what grace that dear man showed. You see, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his spirit. That's the spirit of love, the spirit of kindness, the spirit of compassion. When you feel the opposite spirit working in your heart, be well assured it's not the spirit of God. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, the glory of Christ as the eternal Son of the Father. You know, that holy life he lived, all the dignity and worth of that glorious righteousness wrought out by Jesus Christ, is he is the Son of God. He's declared to be the Son of God with power, and all the dignity and worth of his righteousness, which he wrought out for his people, which he gives to his people, which he clothes his people with. He's the Son of God. It's an everlasting righteousness. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. And all the dignity and worth of that holy sacrifice of the cross of Calvary is in this. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. And therefore, that holy sacrifice, it's of infinite worth. It's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he offered his own sacred, holy humanity on the altar of his divinity, a perfect, holy sacrifice offered in love unto his Father to redeem his people. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love. You know, friends, forbearing, kindness, compassion, one toward another. When you feel a different spirit to that, just keep silent. It's not of God. If it's not a spirit of love, if it's not a spirit of kindness, if it's not a spirit of forbearance, it's not of God. It's of your flesh. And it will do an awful lot of damage in the church of God. I perceive this, my beloved friends, that the devil has a big magnifying glass. And there maybe somebody does offend you. They may say something that offends you. But then the devil brings his magnifying glass along and he explodes out of all proportion and he builds it up in your mind. And so you get it all out of proportion. You see, that's the work of Satan. He's trying to divide. He's trying to separate. We're not ignorant of his cunning devices. May we not fall into the temptations, the little traps and snares that he sets so that he will cause division. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. We love him because he first loved us. That is the wonderful source. He first loved us. And he first quickened your soul into life. He first brought you to a knowledge of yourself. And he first showed himself as the way, the truth, and the life unto you. You know, the Lord Jesus in his teachings, he speaks extensively on this particular aspect of the Christian religion. He says in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, speaking unto his disciples, and in verse 12, he says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." See, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You see, my beloved friends, these things I command you, that ye love one another. It speaks of the hatred of the world. You see, but the Spirit of Christ is one of love. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. They hate the image of God in his people. When you sow love, kindness and compassion, the world hate it, because it is the very image of Christ. And they hate Christ. See, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will also keep yours. For all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. My dear beloved friends, do we know this spirit of love? Do you know this spirit of love, this spirit of kindness and compassion, one toward another, forgiving one another, truly loving one another, your hearts being knit together in love, that you might know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that knitting together in love? It's a very sacred and a very precious thing, my beloved friends, when the Lord gives this love. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Do we practice this? Do we live in this way? Are we kind? Are we tender-hearted? Are we compassionate? You know, does our faith bring forth fruit in this way? That's very telling, isn't it? In the Epistle of James, and the second chapter of that epistle, how that under the Spirit of God, James, he so clearly sets before us what is true, real, living faith. And he says, "What doth it profit, my brethren?" When we go to the previous verse, "So speak ye and so do ye, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, showing mercy, just as you have received mercy." Christ, he speaks of that parable, doesn't he, of the unjust steward, and how that he owed his Lord money, and he besought him that he would forgive him of his debt. And he did so, and he went immediately and got his fellow servant by the throat and threw him in prison until he paid to the utmost farthing of what he had. Now, that's what Christ is teaching us. That's what that parable teaches us. You see, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Faith without works is dead. You see, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. See, that is the righteousness which is by faith of the Son of God. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also, was not the Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What does it mean? You must live your religion. Not just talk it. Many people can talk religion, but how do you live? How do we live day by day? How do we practice our religion day by day? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. May the Lord add his blessing.
Collections last Lord's Day were £775, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 593. Jesus is a mighty Saviour, helpless souls have here a friend. He has borne their misbehaviour, and his mercy knows no end. O ye helpless, come and on his grace depend. Hymn 593.
now. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.